Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is February 24, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Dash, Simplex team up for fiat on ramp offer. Gambling payments blocker offered by the National Australia Bank. Neonomics, Kivra partner for Finnish PSD2 payment solution. PayPal eyes major opportunity of Aussie SMB lending. Billtrust taps green dot for new CFO. B2B e-commerce gets civilized. Tax season adds extra fraud weight for SMBs. Financing Vietnam's underbanked and high-risk agri SMBs. Now let's get started. Dash, Simplex team up for fiat on ramp offer. Dash, a digital currency and blockchain governance network, has partnered with fiat infrastructure provider Simplex to enable Dash to be purchased with credit card. As such, Simplex will offer Dash for purchase with credit cards through its partners. Simplex is an EU-licensed financial institution with 128 active partners and supports 10 different cryptos. The company is known for its proprietary fraud detection algorithms which eliminate the risk of fraudulent card payments. Dash is a cryptocurrency in payments with a market cap of over US$1 billion. As per CoinSpeaker, the peer-to-peer payment network is operated and backed by an online community of developers and adopters, many of whom run the open-source Dash software. Gambling payments blocker offered by the National Australia Bank. National Australia Bank (NAB) has announced it became the first bank in the country to offer customers the option to block gambling transactions via its mobile application. As such, retail banking customers with a NAB Visa credit or NAB Visa debit card can now restrict most gambling payments, including sports betting, casino games, lottery tickets, and online gambling. This means that customers will have the option to remove the blocker via the app or by calling the bank's customer support team. However, there will be a delayed reactivation period of 48 hours, during which the request to reactivate can be cancelled. iGaming Business reveals that the tool is available on the latest version of the app across iOS and Android devices. This tool comes in addition to another NAB service introduced in March 2019, which allows its customers to call customer support and block most gambling transactions. Neonomics, Kivra partner for Finnish PSD2 payment solution. Norway-based provider of open banking APIs Neonomics has teamed up with digital invoice mailbox Kivra to launch a live PSD2 payment solution in Finland. The partnership means that Neonomics API, which has been connected to all major Finnish banks, will allow customers to pay invoices from the Kivra digital mailbox, available through mobile apps and websites, according to IBS Intelligence. This is one of the first practical applications of PSD2 payment APIs across Europe, the company said in a statement announcing the partnership, which went live at the start of February 2020. The solution provides a cost-effective and user-centric solution for customers across Finland, helping them to pay their regular invoices directly through the Kivra app or website. Neonomics, which is based in Oslo, Norway, provides global banking coverage of 1,650 banks to financial institutions and third-party providers through one API. PayPal eyes major opportunity of Aussie SMB lending. Payment company PayPal is looking at small business credit as a new field of opportunity. The company is championing a national digital framework in Australia that would speed up the processes used to verify customers. In a submission to a Senate inquiry into financial and regulatory technology, PayPal and other fintech companies recognized alternative business finance as a key strategy moving forward, according to the Sydney Morning Herald on Friday, February 21. PayPal's Australian Chief Executive Neil Matthews said consumer and small business credit would be major opportunities for PayPal. The company offers businesses working capital so they can borrow funds at a percentage of their income and pay them back in increments, as they make sales through the platform, minus a set fee that is determined by the company's sales history. The company has now loaned more than $500 million to 7,000 Australian companies, officials said. An ongoing demand for that service means PayPal will keep offering it, the company said. Around 25,000 loans have been written to Australian businesses. PayPal said in its Senate submission that there were information asymmetries in the Australian system that made it difficult for young people and smaller businesses to access credit. That's because most information about their financial histories was held by larger institutions. But open banking is on the rise and has been touted as a way to make it easier for fintechs and other alternative institutions to compete. Matthews said the creation of a secure, government-issued identity framework would make it easier to get people verified and authenticated, which would in turn spur growth in Australia. Other fintech operations like MYOB and Xero have indicated they want to swim in similar small business credit waters alongside PayPal. Both companies have said they also see the potential in the market. The shift also comes after Telstra and others have indicated that they'll stop allowing supply chain finance offers that let businesses get paid faster for a price. Billtrust taps Green Dot for new CFO. Accounts receivable, R, automation firm Billtrust has appointed Mark Schiffke as Chief Financial Officer, CFO, bringing more than 35 years of financial and legal experience including most recently as the CFO at FinTech Green Dot to guide the firm through its next phase of growth, the company announced in a recent blog. Reporting to Chief Executive Officer, CEO, and founder Flint Lane, Billtrust will tap Schiffke's FinTech background for the CFO position. "We're thrilled to have Mark join the Billtrust team," said Lane. "Mark is a world-class CFO and the perfect individual to help guide Billtrust into the future." Schiffke comes to Billtrust as the firm experienced record-setting revenue and new customer acquisition. Billtrust closed out 2019 with annual payment volume in excess of $1 trillion. "I am pleased to join Billtrust's leadership team and look forward to guiding Billtrust's financial operations as they continue to transform the accounts receivables landscape for the world's leading brands," said Schiffke. "I am excited, not only that Billtrust's market-leading order-to-cash platform continues to be the industry standard, but that our business payments network is revolutionizing B2B payments." Schiffke recently served in numerous capacities at Green Dot, including CFO, General Manager of Government Programs and Vice President of Special Projects. He also served as a Vice President at Goldman Sachs, had roles at JP Morgan, was a partner at Davis Polk & Wardwell Law Firm and was a principal at KPMG. Billtrust was founded in 2001 and is headquartered in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. It works to accelerate cash flow by automating credit decisions and monitoring, invoice delivery, payment capture, cash application, and collections. In October, Billtrust announced that it was expanding its presence in Chicago as it experiences rapid growth, including more than $30 billion in ACH and card payments processed. "Chicago has been an incredible host to Billtrust, and we are thrilled to be growing our team there," Lane said at the time. "We've been experiencing significant growth as a company due in large part to the incredible team we have around us. It's extremely important to us that our employees work in environments that enable them to thrive." B2B e-commerce gets civilized. The first and oldest writings of human civilization were not poems or prayers, they were invoices. Transactions for livestock, spices, grain, the Sumerians began marking it all down in clay 5,500 years ago. We can imagine ancient traders in marketplaces awaiting payment, calling for the end of clay and cheering on disruptive new technologies like papyrus, quills, and ink. And here we are, millennia later, exploring space and streaming Netflix, yet over 40% of business-to-business B2B payments are still made by paper, the same technology that replaced clay tablets. Unlike simpler, more streamlined business-to-consumer B2C purchasing, B2B sellers still ship goods or extend services on the promise of being paid later on an unspecified date, usually months. In the February 2020 B2B e-commerce report, done in collaboration with American Express, we learn how B2B buyers and sellers are using e-commerce to bypass outdated paper-based billing and payment terms. Where's the trust? The speed of payments relies at some point on the level of trust between parties. Despite being vulnerable to hackers, digital platforms and marketplaces offer secure spaces where known trading partners can transact electronically and instantly, accelerating both goods and funds. China's e-commerce titan Alibaba is capitalizing on that. Kivanch Onan, Alibaba North America head of B2B payments, financing and protection, told PYMNTS that buyer-seller confidence is best achieved with delivery guarantees, fast dispute outcomes and lending services geared to helping small and medium-sized businesses (SMBs) settle up with sellers instantly online. That mix also contains offering payment method of choice an increasingly decisive factor. The B2B buyer is rapidly evolving and becoming more sophisticated, and, in turn, expectations are shifting toward purchasing with their payments of choice. Anjali Shah, Director of Client Management for Online Merchants at American Express, told PYMNTS. Price isn't the only factor in their purchase decisions. Convenience, customer service, and payment methods all influence this decision. For B2B companies to achieve long-term growth, investing in the technology that allows them to be more flexible with payment methods is imperative. Digital dollars, digital dangers. By way of examples, the February 2020 B2B e-commerce report profiles B2B event rental outfit Court Events, where Director of Marketing Lillian Shen has catapulted the company out of legacy payments and into e-commerce transactions that settle faster. Moving our business to the online space allows us to maximize our ability to serve our customers, reduces their downtime and allows us to provide them real-time updates to their needs, Shen told PYMNTS. Given the sheer common sense of moving paper payments into a near real-time e-commerce ecosystem, we can expect the current steady flow to become a mass migration to digital. Those movements are being closely observed by cyber villains looking for their next big score. After all, B2B e-commerce will be a $1.1 trillion business this year, pure catnip to cybercrooks. The antidote is secure systems that automate accounts payable, use artificial intelligence, AI, and machine learning to endlessly scan for threats while humans prioritize payments and, ideally, add some face time to thriving e-commerce relationships. The ultimate KYC is knowing your customers as people. Tax season adds extra fraud weight for SMBs. Tax season is upon U.S. small businesses, and fraudsters are taking advantage. In a new report from Proofpoint, researchers warned that any businesses with the word tax in its domain is at risk of being spoofed by phishing attackers targeting small to medium-sized businesses (SMBs). These cyber criminals are taking to impersonating legitimate tax service businesses and sending SMB targets with malicious email attachments and links designed to infect that SMB with malware. While the tax-themed email attacks hit businesses in all sectors, we also saw financial firms and construction industries targeted disproportionately, wrote Sherrod DiGrippo, who published the research on Proofpoint's website last week. The construction industry targeting, in particular, is a reminder that no one sector is immune. Indeed, tax season isn't the only threat hitting SMBs, either. According to the latest research from Bottomline Technologies, businesses said the fraud threat is on the rise. Meanwhile, Forbes reported separate analysis from North Carolina State University warning that as pressure mounts for chief financial officers to hit their financial targets, they're less likely to report fraud. This week's B2B Data Digest takes a look at the latest data points behind more cases of B2B payments fraud. 41% more ransomware attacks were initiated last year, the New York Times reported, citing data from MSSoft, with 205,280 businesses losing access to their data as a result. Separate research from Coveware found companies paid an average of $84,116 to recover their files in Q4 2019, reports said, adding that public entities accounted for about one-tenth of 2019's cases. 73% of corporates say fraud threats rose last year, according to Bottomline Technologies' latest Treasury Fraud and Corporate Controls Survey report. More than half of surveyed treasurers also said they had been hit by attempted cyber fraud in the last 12 months. 2,100 corporates were targeted in a widespread business email compromise (BEC) scam recently uncovered by cybersecurity company Agari, the firm revealed last week. The cyberattack group, named Exaggerated Lion, had targeted more than 3,000 individuals at those businesses with their BEC scam email attacks between April and August 2019, with the vast majority of targets being employees working within the accounts payable department as more cyber attackers infiltrate corporates' B2B payment processes. $75,000 is the average loss of a BEC scam, new data from the FBI has revealed. Analysis of BEC complaints filed in 2019 found that BEC scams accounted for nearly half of the $3.5 billion in total cybercrime-related losses for the year. $77,000 in losses occurred at Australia's oldest ICE risk thanks to a BEC scam, Information Age reported last week. The cyberattack was linked to a Hungarian bank account, reports noted, with fraudsters targeting the Sydney-based business by hacking its email. The ICE risk received a legitimate invoice from a real supplier for the $77,000 payment request, but shortly after, hackers sent a fraudulent, amended invoice with updated bank account details, tricking the ICE rink into sending funds to the hacker's account. $2.6 million was lost by the government of Puerto Rico, which fell victim to an email phishing scam in the latest example of B2B fraud attacks targeting public and government entities. The scam involved an email claiming a new bank account connected to remittance payments. The government's industrial development company finance director has reportedly alerted the FBI of the alleged crime. $8.7 million was stolen from a Pennsylvania construction firm by one of its own employees, and the company said Citizens Bank is to blame. Reports in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette said a former controller at the company has admitted to the theft by generating payroll checks to pay her own contracting company. In a lawsuit, the business claims that Citizens had suspicions about the fraud but never alerted the construction firm, a case that raises the debate about who holds the responsibility to catch such fraudulent activity. Financing Vietnam's underbanked and high-risk agri SMBs. While a lack of access to affordable, quick capital is a barrier to growth for small businesses across the globe, there are certain markets and certain industries in which those hurdles are particularly high. Developing markets are often characterized by a high volume of small and micro businesses that are key to employment and GDP, yet with those firms lacking access to traditional bank services or financial literacy. Certain industries, meanwhile, can be particularly volatile and high risk for banks to underwrite. When these two barriers to capital combine, entrepreneurs can find them entirely insurmountable. Such is often the case in Vietnam's agriculture industry. In a nation where 97.6% of all businesses have fewer than 100 employees, small and medium-sized businesses (SMBs) are key to economic growth, yet a 2017 report from the International Finance Corporation discovered less than half of small businesses in the country had accessed a bank loan in the previous 2 years. According to Nikhilesh Goel, co-founder of Validus Capital, Vietnam's small business credit gap can be traced back to a few factors. Many small businesses in Vietnam lack the financial literacy, as well as the necessary collateral and credit records, to borrow from traditional lenders like banks, he told PYMNTS. In addition, as the fintech lending landscape is still nascent in Vietnam, data availability can be a challenge and most SMBs aren't aware of alternative lending options available. A volatile vertical. There is evidence that Vietnam's fintech ecosystem is advancing quickly as digital payments and commerce permeate the market with a trajectory similar to that of China's, some analysts say. While digitization will support lenders' ability to underwrite loans, not all small businesses are able to accelerate their digital transformations equally. In the agriculture and food sector, for example, certain factors add extra friction to small businesses seeking capital. As these small businesses lack formal financial statements, business records and collaterals, they are often unable to obtain funding from banks, Goel explained. Small business owners like farmers are unable to fund their growth or operational expenses to purchase items like seeds and farming equipment, resulting in the lack of crop yield and revenue for these small businesses. It's a self-perpetuating pattern that locks many agri-food SMBs into a spiral of a cash flow squeeze. Without collateral like machinery, small businesses in the industry struggle to access the finance they need to procure such machinery. And without access to capital, these businesses aren't able to strengthen their crop yield, resulting in an even riskier profile for skeptical banks. Traditional lenders such as banks rely on credit history and records when making credit decisions, and often require collateral in the form of machinery or owned real estate, which small businesses in the agri-food industry are rarely, if ever, able to provide, Goel said, pointing to additional industry-specific factors limiting these businesses' access to bank loans. Other risks include volatile commodity prices, bad weather conditions or disease outbreak that could impact the industry and agribusinesses' repayment periods. Catching up with market growth. Vietnam's agriculture industry is enjoying a bit of a boom, with the nation's Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Development reporting in 2018 that the sector's GDP contribution increased by 3.76%, reaching its highest level in 7 years and yielding more than $40 billion in export revenues. Despite this growth, Goel warned that small businesses in this industry face cash flow pain points like late payments that make it even more imperative for them to be able to access affordable and quick financing. There is significant opportunity for fintech to step into the fold, with Goel pointing to advances in data analytics as a key component to strengthening underwriting and business analytics operations. While automation and technology can support both alternative and traditional lenders' efforts to address the credit gap among Vietnam's small agri-food businesses, traditional lenders often view the low value and short tenure loans that SMBs seek as unprofitable, presenting an even greater opportunity for alt-lending companies to collaborate and address friction for both banks and borrowers. This is particularly true not only in areas of small business lending like underwriting, but in the post-finance experience of loan monitoring. While small businesses in Vietnam value personal relationships with bankers, Goel said artificial intelligence (AI) presents the opportunity for lenders to better assess macroeconomic trends and borrowers' financial positions to anticipate potential repayment problems. It's a strategy enabling lenders to become proactive at mitigating risk, while also presenting a way for lenders to encourage repayment and promote loyalty to deepen the bank-small business relationship. Financial institutions have a lot on their plate: emerging competitors, shifting demographics, rising customer expectations and changing regulations, said Goel. Advancements in digital experiences, such as AI and distributed ledger technology, are catalysts to new fintech services. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again PayCademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.